morning and welcome to the main news at 18 hours. We take a look at stories making headlines. Middle East conflict triggers urea shortage disrupting Zambia's agriculture sector. Home Affairs Minister defends police recruitment, says 4,000 integrals targeted to address staffing gaps. Pope criticizes tyrant who spend billions on wars after Trump spat.
Millennium FM, the voice of development.
With the details, my name is Kalunga Mukulangoma Mwape. Now, the ongoing war in the Middle East has begun to impact Zambia's agriculture sector, while the local market is experiencing a shortage in the supply of urea. Recently, Vice President Mtadena Lumango assured the nation that the country was a steady supply of fertilizer on the market despite the ongoing war in the Middle East. One supplier, Samson Piri, says that the country is currently facing shortage of urea on the market. He explained that the situation has forced some suppliers to rely on the few dealers who still have a remaining stock. Mr. Piri attributed the shortage to difficulties in sourcing the commodity on the international markets, largely due to disruptions caused by conflict in the Middle East.
A very huge shortage of urea. If you check around, situation that urea is scarce on the market, and this is actually a big hit. I feel like we need to also consider about 2026-2027 farming season if urea can actually not be seen on the market right now. What of when the farming season actually hits? So this is a very big concern to which we need to actually look at other possible solutions, like what are we going to do for the country to ensure that our food security is actually in the right push.
President Nagainde Hichilema has officially reopened the Zambia-China Mulungushi Textiles Factory in Kawe, marking the revival of the facility after close to 20 years of inactivity. Speaking during the commissioning ceremony, President Hichilema said that the reopening of the plant represented a significant milestone in Zambia's industrialization agenda and broader economic recovery efforts. The head of state disclosed that $140 million had been invested into the project, adding that the facility was expected to create more than 500 direct jobs while supporting over 2,500 cotton farmers across the country. President Hichilema described the reopening as the fulfillment of a long-standing commitment, noting that the project would play a crucial role in job creation and empowerment of local communities. He further explained that the plant would manufacture a variety of products including cotton fabrics, jetenge materials, curtains and other textile goods, thereby strengthening the local value chain. The president also urged stakeholders to promote local industries through deliberate policies that prioritize locally produced goods over imports, stating that such measures were essential in boosting domestic production and supporting Zambian businesses. Meanwhile, President Nagainde Hichilema has called on citizens and various stakeholders to partner with the government in driving development in Kawe and the country at large, stressing that national growth required collective responsibility. He emphasized that the revival of Mulungushi Textile was not merely the reopening of the factory, but restoration of livelihood, industries, and national pride.
As we are happy with many ventures, many, many ventures, and I want to thank President Xi Jinping. When we met, I met him in 2023, when we signed a comprehensive strategic cooperative partnership. We included a number of projects there that will be done. Some are in the mining sector, and hence you see shaft 28 or 28 shafts being rehabilitated, bringing Rwanda back to life. Rwanda was becoming a guest, a ghost town. But today, Rwanda is back. Abena Rwanda called it the new Rwanda. We included that project in our meeting in Beijing. What else did we include? Tazara project, $1.4 billion.
Minister of Home Affairs and Internal Security Jack Mwimbo has dismissed claims that the recruitment of 4,000 police officers was secretive or irregular, indicating that it was targeted exercise to critical staffing gaps. Mr. Mwimbo said that the Zambia Police Service and used internal recruitment mechanisms to absorb specialized professionals and qualified civilians already serving, including medical personnel in police health facilities and the skill skilled tradesmen and women from engineering and maintenance departments. He explained that the integrating these offices corrects a long-standing structural gap and formally recognizes technical expertise that supports the services operation and readiness. Mr. Mwimbo stated that the process also drew from institutional talent pools such as police bands linked to learning institutions and such brass band programs, as well as sportsmen and women who have represented the service in national and international competitions. He said that the key pillar of the recruitment was the 2023 database of over 6,000 previously vetted and eligible candidates who were not taken in due to limited vacancies, and using it ensured efficiency, reduced costs. He emphasized that the exercise adhered to Article 197 of the Constitution by reflecting regional diversity and prioritizing internal and vetted candidates was equitable, recognized service and merit, and upheld professionalism and public safety.
A key pillar of this recruitment exercise was the utilization of the 2023 recruitment database. Honorable members may recall that during the 2023 exercise, the service received in excess of 100,000 applications for approximately 4,000 positions. Following a rigorous and transparent selection process, over 10,000 candidates were found to be eligible. However, due to limited vacancies at the time, only 4,224 were recruited, leaving a pool of more than 6,000 pre-qualified candidates.
We continue, and finally in our local news, mining expert Edward Simukonda says that government will struggle to collect tax from small-scale miners unless it employs mine inspectors to verify operations. Mr. Simukonda notes that many artisanal miners who received the licenses are not operating, and some keep their document unused, making tax collections impossible. He said that the first step for the government should be to deploy inspectors to check whether licensed miners actually producing. Mr. Simukonda explained that inspectors should move from region to region to assess what license holders are doing on the ground. He adds that those are found to be producing must be required to pay tax, while inactive miners should provide reasons for not working. Mr. Simukonda stated that all the findings from inspections must be put on record to justify the level of tax received from the sector. He emphasized that employing mine inspectors is essential for accountability and for ensuring licensed small-scale miners contribute revenue to government.
So in that regard, yes, some development has taken place, but it's not something that you can start talking about or seeing about to say that we've done well. No, let's first start seeing the results. That's my take over that situation. You see, getting taxes from these mines is not going to be easy if government does not employ inspectors. You know, first thing, government is supposed to go around and see that these people are actually operating, because some are not. They have the mining license, you know, like the way it is, they've been issued mining license, but they're keeping their licenses in their drawer. They're not operating, and how do you expect them to give you tax?
And now, business news. Business news.
Economist Aaron Sikombe says that current expenditure on subsidies will not lead to the depletion of Zambia's foreign reserves. This comes amid concerns from stakeholders that the country's $5.5 billion reserves could be wiped out through the introduction of subsidies. Mr. Sikombe has assured that the reserves remain sufficient to shield the economy from prevailing external shocks. He says that there is no need for citizens to panic, as the current foreign reserves are strong enough to cushion the countries during this period. Mr. Sikombe has also stressed confidence that the drop in international oil prices will be sustained, which is expected to benefit countries like Zambia.
So, and petrol would go up by, if they do not suspend the taxes on the two products and forego the $200 million US dollars, it would have been the ripple effects on the economy would have been worse, and mitigating the inflation that would have come out of that would have been worse than foregoing the $200 million. So I believe it's a well calculated decision.